What up, y'all? It's your boy Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Before we get off into the show, I want to take a second to say thank you so much to everyone who has shown me support this past week. This is the best week that I've had with this podcast as far as love and support goes. This was the first week that I really like acknowledged my dream of being a pro wrestling journalist with an emphasis on independent wrestling, and I was really nervous to do it. I've been nervous to do this podcast. I've been nervous to kind of step out there. But so far I've been received really well. Everyone has shown me love. People that I don't know have shown me love. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, right up front at the top of the show and say thank you so much to everybody out there listening who has shown me love, new or old. I really appreciate it. It really means the world to me. Also, before we get off into this show, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Yes, my social media handles are finally the same again, and they are more reflective of myself. Mr. Jordan McClain on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, just about anywhere else that you can get podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed. This week, we're talking about Action Wrestling. They recently had a doubleheader out of, I believe, Canton, Georgia. They had Friday Night Fights number 2 and Friday the 13th. I'm talking about both shows. Really dope shows. I'm really pleased with Action Wrestling. But, of course, y'all know how I do it. We're going to get into it match by match, break down each show so I can tell y'all exactly what I think. Once again, thank you. Make sure you're following me on social. Subscribe to the podcast. And let's jump into it. So this week, all about Action Wrestling. They had a doubleheader recently. Like I said, they had Friday the 13th as well as Friday Night Fights 2. You can check both of those shows out right now on IWTV. I am going to be covering both. Action Wrestling is a promotion that I've heard a lot about, and I've known of them, and I've been like following them, trying to keep up with what's going on, but I hadn't actually watched any Action Wrestling, well, outside of like a match or two on their YouTube channel, but I had not watched a full show until I watched these shows. Now, the thing about this, these shows, I'm gonna let y'all know, they do kind of coincide with each other. So you're gonna hear things. If, for example, if you just watch Friday Night Fights 2, you're going to hear things and things are going to happen in that show that may not make sense. So, highly recommend going to watch Friday the 13th first, which is the first show that they recorded that day, and then go back and watch Friday Night Fights 2. I'm going to talk about Friday the 13th because that was the first show that they recorded, and everything that I'm going to talk about needs to make sense. So, let's get off into Friday the 13th. First up on Friday the 13th, we have Luther X taking on Bobby Flacco. Luther X gets the win in this match. I think that this was a great match when you look at the whole card. This was a great match to actually start the show and set the pace for the whole night. Luther X, everybody who knows me knows that I'm a big Luther X fan. I think the guy's great. I've seen Bobby Flacco. I say it every week. Bobby Flacco comes out of WWA 4. Y'all know how I feel about WWA 4. I don't even need to continue with that. But he's a part of that crop of WWA 4 kids who just been killing it, just been tearing it up. Bobby hasn't been as out there as everybody else, but he can still go, and I think that this match against Luther X proves it. They had some great back and forth. I think that at one point in this match, Luther X did like a deadlift German suplex on Bobby Flacco that made me kind of, ugh. It was very nice to see Luther's strength, be on display, because a lot of the times Luther faces guys his size or bigger. Luther's often the he's either equal or the smaller guy in the match. So for me personally, it was good and it was different to see him facing someone smaller than him. Bobby Flacco, straight out the gate, they had some fantastic storytelling with Bobby Flacco kind of playing to the crowd, but later on during the match getting kind of frustrated, you know what I mean, at Luther X, because Luther, you know, heels do heel things, and Luther was, and it was frustrating Bobby Flacco. One of the notes that I have in this match is Luther and Bobby are both great, fantastic at playing to the crowd. They do that really well. You saw it from the opening, from their entrances. Luther done a great job by playing the crowd, you know, throwing the sign with his name on it. His presence alone, he looks like an asshole right off the rip. So his presence alone is going to garner him some good heel heat. And of course, there are people there who loved him. You know, they had the Luther X signs, Luther X section, so to speak. But, you know, he, being the heel he is, just balling that paper up, tossing it. You know, Bobby comes out and they played it well on, they told it well, rather, on commentary, how Bobby Flacco really is like one of the faces of action wrestling. And I would absolutely agree. Outside of AC Mack, who is their champion, who wrestled in the main event, we'll talk about him later. You know, when I see action wrestling, I really think of Bobby Flacco. You know what I mean? As far as in-ring competitors, he's been there forever. The crowd loves him, as they showcased in this match. So both of them do a great job of playing to the crowd. And I like to see people play to the crowd because, you know, that's one of those things that's kind of lost. So many people get lost in, you know, get your stuff in. Let's do this spot and then go to this spot and then go to that spot, then go to this spot. You know, they do it so much that they don't think to just stop and let the crowd breathe. And I think that Luther and Bobby did a great job of doing that. And playing to the crowd. Luther's a fantastic heel, man. He really is. And I don't see his name in a lot of conversation when it comes to who are, you know, good heels in the Southeast or whatever. I really think his name should be in that conversation of one of the best heels in the South and in the Southeast. He's very, very good at what he does. During the match, you know, he had a chain wrapped up in the flag, and he got the chain out, and you know, you just knew he was going to use it because he's a heel. The ref catches it, throws it to commentary. Luther gets a low blow in on Bobby Flacco. That's just classic heel stuff. You know what I mean? Outsmarting everybody, staying two steps ahead of everybody. Okay, I'll let you get the chain, but while your back is turned, you dealing with the chain, I'm going to get in a low blow. That's classic heel stuff. That's smart heel stuff. So I think we really need to have a conversation about Luther X being one of the better heels in the Southeast. Overall, though, fantastic match. Great way to start the show. Now we're going to move on to a four-way match. We have Kevin Ryan taking on Braden Lee, taking on Graham Bell, taking on Sean Christopher. Graham Bell gets the win in this match. This was a crazy damn match from start to finish. And I knew it was going to be crazy when I saw Kevin Ryan and Sean Christopher's name involved. I know them, you know what I'm saying? I've seen them wrestle a whole bunch of times. I've seen Graham Bell wrestle a handful of times. But this is my first time seeing Braden Lee. So I didn't know what he would bring to the table. And that was exciting for me because I know Kevin is going to be exciting. I know Sean's going to be exciting. I know Graham's going to be exciting. So having that extra element of, I don't know who this guy is, what's he going to do, and how's he going to match up to these other guys' style, I think he matched up great. Braden Lee also has the look of a superstar. I think that he really, really, I have to look at his in-ring work more to really get a grasp on him, but 1,000% he has the look of a superstar. And, you know, this is a business where most of the time looks matter. You know what I mean? Is it a great thing? Not necessarily, but looks matter. And I think that he has the look of a superstar 1,000%. So this match was more of a spot match. And there's nothing wrong with spot matches. And I kind of knew that when Kevin Ryan's name showed up, because I know what Kevin's going to do at all times. Kevin's crazy. And Sean's crazy. They're both a little out there. So every single moment in this match was for sure one of those blink and you'll miss it type of deals. You know what I mean? If you blink at any point in time during this match, you're going to miss something. You know what I mean? There was, I believe, who was it? Graham Bell did a spear to the outside. Somebody did a spear to the outside that blew my freaking mind. There was Kevin Ryan did a cutter to Braden Lee out of a, I believe it was a shooting star press. Kevin went to do a flip. Sean super kicked him. This match was crazy. It was crazy in all the right ways. It was an extremely exciting match with some young talent and some veteran talent who can go with the young talent, which is always a great thing to see. There was, I believe it was Braden Lee, who went for a shooting star press, and then Graham Bell speared him out of the shooting star press. That kind of stuff, crazy, bananas, insane, but it makes for a fantastic wrestling match. So, you know, if you like matches with a lot of spots, this is definitely the kind of match that you want to see. This is definitely a match that you want to see, you want to reference when you're talking about fast-paced, high-impact, boom-boom moments in indie wrestling and in certain matches. This is for certain the kind of match that you want to watch. Great match from all of these men. You know, great match from all of these men. There's something, all of these men have something about them that they brought to this match and that made the match work. Y'all know I've talked about it ad nauseum. I'm not a big fan of multi-man matches. This one worked. And I think it was because while it was a spot fest, it wasn't sloppy. Everyone got their stuff in. Everyone came out looking good. So this multi-man match, it definitely wasn't my favorite match of the night. But it worked. It was a great match. It really worked for what it was. And I think you could put any combination of these four men in a singles match, and it probably will end up being my favorite match on the show. I don't know about this one, because this card was absolutely stacked. I already knew which match is going to be my favorite. But either way, this four-way, fantastic. Kudos to all of you gentlemen for going out there and doing that and putting on an absolute show. It was a great match. Now we're going to go into Cole Radrick versus Brett Eisen. Brett Eisen gets the win. Let me tell y'all something right here and right now. If you're looking for somebody with the look and the presence of an ass kicker, Brett Eisen is who you want. I love Brett Eisen. I've loved Brett Eisen since the first time I seen him. Brett Eisen is one of those dudes that I call back alley dudes. As in, you don't want to get caught in a back alley with Brett Eisen. He looks mean. He looks like he's ready to kill somebody. He looks like he's looking for a fight. And he also looks like the kind of dude that you definitely don't want to fight. Brett Eisen looks like that dude that, When you're trying to date a girl and she tells you that her older brother's crazy, that's kind of what Brett Eisen gives me. Big brother crazy. He won't tell you he'll punch you in the face. He just gonna punch you in the face. Like, it's understood. Don't mess with this dude. Cole Radrick, this was my first time actually seeing Cole Radrick. And I loved him. I think that early on in this match, he had some quick offense, which is very smart. A lot of the times you watch guys get into matches with bigger competitors, and the first thing that they try to do is out-muscle them or something along those lines. You can't do that with bigger opponents, I don't think. You should even try to do that with bigger opponents. Quick offense, get in, get out, stick and move, hit a leg kick, duck out. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And Cole Radrick played that well in this match against Brad Eisen. Of course, it didn't matter much. Brad Eisen got the win. On commentary, they made a reference saying that Brad Eisen, much like a pit bull, is playing with his food. That's the point that we got into the match, where it felt like Brad Eisen was just playing with Cole Radrick at some point. And it really felt like that. Just about every match Brad Eisen is in feels like that. So, but I really did. I love this match. I love what I've seen out of Cole Radrick. He's another person that, like Braden Lee, I'm going to have to go watch. I'm going to have to seek out his stuff and keep up with him, because, you know, they were putting him over like crazy on commentary and stating that, you know, they felt like he was the most improved wrestler in the past 2 years. And that's, you know, that's no easy feat when you have so many wrestlers who are constantly improving. To say that Cole Radrick is the most improved, I'm definitely going to seek him out. This win was very effective for Brad Eisen. I think that this win puts Brad Eisen back in the hunt, because I believe the last show at Action, he challenged for the title and lost. But I think that effective wins like this should absolutely put Brad Eisen in the hunt, in the conversation for title matches. I would also say it's not going to be very long before Brad Eisen starts getting some serious looks from these major companies. So if you're out there and you need an ass kicker, make sure you're booking Brad Eisen. And make sure, if you need somebody small and fast and effective, you're booking Cole Radrick. I think these two work well together, and I can see them tearing it up in just about any promotion, indie or otherwise, that they get in. Next up, we're talking about Anthony Henry versus Kyle Matthews. Anthony Henry picks up the W in this match. Commentary in this match was fantastic. Like, extraordinary. And I think that I don't know either of the gentlemen who were on commentary personally, but I believe that this was the match that kind of showcased their love for what they're doing, you know, because Kyle Matthews and Anthony Henry, as they put over on commentary, these two have been around for a while. They have storied indie wrestling careers. To my knowledge, I had not heard about Kyle Matthews before this, but I had heard a lot about Anthony Henry before this. I don't know. Kyle Matthews could be before my time as far as being on the independent wrestling scene, so maybe that's why I didn't know about him. But in my couple of years of being near this business, I have heard a lot about Anthony Henry. But commentary was fantastic. The respect in this match was palpable. From the moment that these two got into the ring, you felt that there was a deep respect. You know what I mean? And if you know the story, then you know the story. I didn't know the story until, like I said, this match, till commentary put it over, and then I did my own little research about it. But you know, the respect factor goes a long way. You know, sometimes you just feel like two guys get in the ring and they don't really know each other, so there's no reason for them to really respect each other. You could feel when these two guys got in the ring, just how much they respected each other as far as their craft, as far as their place in the business. And I think that that was very good. I think that it was good, subtle storytelling. The technical sequences in this match from both of these men is what really made this match exciting to watch. There was a lot of holding. There was a lot of back and forth as far as the technicality goes. And that really made this match fun to watch. I believe it was Anthony Henry who was doing like a ton. Like he maybe done 6 or 7 Northern Lights suplexes while holding Kyle Matthews in a knuckle lock. And that, to my knowledge, is the first time that I've ever seen anything like that. That was insane to witness. Like, the level of control that that takes to keep someone in a knuckle lock and to continuously Northern Lights suplex them, the level of control that that takes from both men and the level of athleticism that it takes for both men to pull that off, absolutely insane. This is one of the matches that you can look at on this card. You can say that this was the match of the night, and I wouldn't fight you. Like, I would not disagree. I could 100% see why this match is considered by some to be the match of the night. It was a fantastic match. You know, the post-match of them showing respect for each other and giving each other, you know, some nods, you know, just saluting each other as talented individuals on the independent wrestling scene. You love to see it. It was a great thing to see. Next up, we got Alex Kane taking on Damian Tangra from Bulgaria. Yeah, I know. I said the same thing. Alex Kane gets the win in this matchup. This wasn't a long match. There wasn't a lot to the match, so I don't have very many notes, but the match was still very effective. Damian Tangra really impressed me. This was my first time seeing him, my first time hearing about him, and I was thoroughly impressed with what he brought to the table. And Alex Kane, man, that Alex Kane is something serious. Do you hear me? Alex Kane is something serious. I've been watching him now for a few months. He y'all know where I know him from initially. So we ain't even gonna get off into it. I'm sick of saying it. I know y'all are sick of hearing it. Just pay attention. Okay, but Alex Kane is something scary, man. He's so strong, even for a dude his size. You don't look at him and think, oh, this dude is going to be this strong. I think you could make an argument that Alex Kane, pound for pound, is one of the strongest people in the Southeast independent wrestling scene. I really think that that might be the case. You know, He was picking up Damian Tangra like it was nothing. And Alex ain't like, he's not like a big stout guy. You know what I'm saying? He's not Brock Lesnar, even though that's who he puts me in the mind of. A young Brock Lesnar. He's very technical. He's very, what's the word? He's very precise. Every movement has a meaning. And every movement is to be effective. It's not to, you know, be flashy or anything like that. It's when you watch Alex Kane wrestle, it's as if Alex Kane is in there with the express purpose on proving himself every single match. I've seen a lot of matches with Alex Kane so far. And every match is like that. So this, like I said, it was not a very long match, but it was effective. Alex Kane looked like a $1 million in this freaking match, man. If you are not on the Alex Kane train, get on there. because that dude is setting himself up for a very explosive 2021. By this time next year, I fully expect Alex Kane's name to be in everybody's mouth. Fully expecting it. Next up, we're going to go to Suge D versus Cabana Man Dan. Cabana Man Dan gets the W in this match. Telling y'all up front, Suge D versus Cabana Man Dan was my match of the night. And that's both shows included. This match was my match of the night. I knew that this match would be my match of the night. Because if you follow both men on Twitter, you saw the back and forth. You saw what this storyline was and how it came to be and how it played well into this match. Suge and Cabana Man Dan are two veterans. You know, they know what they're doing. Usually when you have two guys of their caliber, of their experience, you try to put them with a younger talent so that the younger talent looks better. But that was not the case in this match, and I'm glad. This match was fantastic. The storyline was incredible. They had a pre-match moment. I don't know if it was a shoot or a work, but there was a moment in before this match officially started where there was no referee and Suge and CMD were just playing off of each other. And man, oh my God, it was perfect. It was perfect. Both men, they sold this like crazy, and you believed it from start to finish. Honestly, you believed it. If you followed the storyline on Twitter, you believed it. You know what I'm saying? And I say it all the time, man, that's hard to do these days because everyone has social media and, you know, kayfabe isn't really a thing anymore and yada, yada, yada. But this was from the very first tweet to the very ending of this match. This whole thing was believable. I love that pre-match moment that they had where there was no ref and all that intensity. It gives you goosebumps. One story of this match that I really love being told and put over on commentary, big shout out to the commentary team. They did a fantastic job. Was CMD's resiliency versus Suge D's ruthlessness. You know, no matter what Suge brought to the table up until the end, CMD held out for it. He fought through it, man. And that's, I think that that's a great story to tell. And that's a great testament to Cabana Man Dan to be all these years in. And he's had a pretty rough year personally. I'm not going to get into it. That's his story to tell. But, you know, to see him go into this match, It felt like this match meant a lot to both of these men. It felt like this match was important to both of these men. Much like Anthony Henry versus Kyle Matthews, this match felt important to both of these men on a personal level. And I think that it showed in the way that Suge was working Cabana Man Dan's legs. Suge was doing stuff I don't think I've seen, or maybe it's rare that I've seen it on the indies, but Suge was just, Suge was incredible. Both men were incredible in this match. You know, Suge with working over CMD's legs, but CMD fighting through that. Suge arguing with management, telling them, you know, I gave you the opportunity to change this match. Now, basically, I got to hurt him. It felt good. And it felt good to see both of these men in a different light. We're so used to seeing these men be the happy-go-lucky wrestlers and things of that nature. CMD didn't even use the flip-flops. I think they said in the beginning of the match that he threw the flip-flops in the crowd. That's, listen, okay? You know the match is serious when CMD does not use them flip-flops. Because that's what he's known for. That's his thing. So for him to intentionally not use them, it's not like Suge just stopped him from using them. He didn't even want to use them. That should tell you just how important this match was. Suge was flawless in the post-match segment where he choked Cabana Man Dan. There we go. He choked him out. And when people were, you know, when officials were trying to get in and get to him, that he wouldn't allow them. And Suge was just, Suge was in his bag, bro. Like, I love Suge. I think Suge is one of the more entertaining people, probably the most entertaining guy, word for word, pound for pound on the indies. Suge is probably the most entertaining. And this showcased that, man, Suge was just in his bag. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, this is that match. This is my match of the night. And I'm telling y'all, if you don't want to watch this whole show and you are going to ask me, Jordan, one match from Friday the 13th, one match from Friday the 13th, if I can speak, I promise I will, from Action Wrestling, I want to watch just one match. I only got time for one match. Watch Suge D versus Cabana Man Dan. If you just want me to tell you one match, the whole show is incredible. Y'all know I watch the incredible stuff. This show was incredible top to bottom, but this match, the storytelling, and it played into what's gonna happen on Friday Night Fights. We ain't even got there yet, but storytelling off the charts. Cabana Man Dan is fantastic. Suge D is fantastic. Y'all, we have got to give these two men their flowers while they are still able to receive them. Because, a masterclass in storytelling, in entertainment, in charisma, an absolute masterclass. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm sorry. I'm moving on. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this match all over again. But we still have one more match to discuss. That match being the main event match for the Action Championship. We got champion AC Mack taking on Trey Lamar, who is debuting in Action Wrestling. Fantastic. a fantastic main event. I don't think you could have asked for a better main event. The seeds that were sown during this match. AC Mack did a great job of grounding Trey Lamar. Looking at Trey Lamar, I've heard Trey Lamar's name quite a few times. But I don't think I've ever actually watched one of his matches. But looking at him, you knew he was going to do some high-flying crazy stuff that was going to get you out your seat. So when you're facing somebody like that, you know, the best thing that you can do is ground them. And I think AC Mack done a fantastic job of grounding Trey Lamar. AC Mack is a fantastic heel too. Y'all know I put over Luther X in the beginning of the show saying we need to have that conversation. We need to have the same conversation about AC Mack. I don't think enough people give AC Mack credit for his work. His total work, his overall work. I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for it. AC Mack did a kick in this match. It was like a low spin kick or something. I don't know. But I have it in my notes as AC Mack's Mortal Kombat kick. Because that's what I thought. He pulled it out of nowhere. And I wasn't ready for it. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, sir, you can't just be throwing roundhouse kicks of the... It was crazy. Y'all got to go watch that. It was absolutely crazy. Also, I wanted to say, I love Trey Lamar's brand of high flying. Too many times when you're dealing with cruiserweights, when you're dealing with high flying people, it's strictly, I'm jumping off this corner, and then I'm going to jump off that corner, and then I'm coming off the top rope, and then I'm gonna come through the ropes 8 times, and then when I get back in, I'm gonna do a flip over the top rope, and then when I get back in, I'm gonna play to the crowd for 2 seconds, and then I'm gonna do like run around the ring. It's too much and it's too fast. Trey Lamar, even though he is a high flyer, everything that he done made sense. Every move that he made was done with intention. If you haven't noticed, I love wrestlers like that. They move with intention. You know, it's not just get in here, boom, boom, and then you do this, and then I do that. I like for wrestlers to have intention when they go in their match, because I think that that makes even better storytelling. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can fly here, fly there, and do this and do that, and you can, you know, jump here and do this and run around there and then flip over this and then dive through that and all that. Yeah, you can do all that, but here's the thing. You do all that, you only get a two count. That's what I'm saying. There has to be some intention with what you're doing. There has to be a method to the madness. So I think that Trey Lamar does that beautifully. Everything that he done, at least in this particular match, there was a method to it. There was a reason for him doing it. It made sense for him to do it in the moment that he did it. Trey Lamar's brand of high flying is a beautiful thing. We also got treated to Lufa X on commentary for this match. I told him personally, but I'm going to say it on here. Lufa actually has a great voice for that. I don't know what he's going to do when he decides he's done with wrestling, but I would like to hear him on somebody's commentary team. Whenever that happens, Lufa has a great voice for wrestling, but you know, so he's on commentary and the story that's being told is Lufa is out there supporting AC Mack. When commentary asks him, why would you support AC Mack? Lufa makes it plain and simple. Why wouldn't I? He's the champion. He's successful. He being Lufa X, is still fairly new to the business. Why would he not look at and associate himself with winners, with champions, with successful people? And AC Mack has had a lot of success in his business in a very short amount of time. So it made sense. After the match, AC Mack, of course, retains, and Luther's right there ringside, cheering him on, and AC Mack kind of gives him a little look, you know. It's cautious, but it's also kind of understanding. I like where this is going. These guys are two of my favorite heels on the indies, so I like that there's a tease of something. It may not be anything, you know, but I like that there's something there, whether it's Lufa genuinely wants to learn at the feet of AC Mack, or here's a thought, hear me out, Lufa is maybe studying AC Mack for an inevitable run at the title. I don't know. I don't book things. All I know is it was done beautifully, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is Friday the 13th. Next up, we're going to be talking about Friday. Whoa. My brain ended for a second. Next up, we're going to be talking about Friday Night Fights 2. All right? What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. Alrighty, guys, now we're going to go into the second show of this doubleheader, Friday Night Fights 2. This show was filmed after Friday the 13th, so I'm probably going to mention some stuff that, if watched out of order or if watched in separation, won't really make sense. So be sure to watch Friday the 13th, then watch Friday Night Fights 2. So the first match we got on this card is Adam Priest versus Fred Yehi with the W in this match. One of my notes that I have is commentary did a great job of putting both of these men over. You know, a lot of people do commentary these days. A lot of independent promotions have commentary teams, and they're all good in their own way. But I think that Action's commentary team, especially on this particular night, was very good. They didn't bury anybody by putting someone else over. If they did put someone over, they made sure to not make the other person look bad. And I think that that's very well done. A lot of commentary teams just kind of toy around, and it comes off that way. You can hear it. You can sense it when someone on commentary doesn't really know what they're talking about. These two guys, I have to get their names. I don't know why I didn't get their names in between recording. But this commentary team in particular was done really well, and I can appreciate them. The storytelling that they hit on, and the storytelling that was hit on in the match, was the difference in experience and technical levels. Adam Priest is good. Fred Yehi is great. And this match felt like Adam Priest was pushed into being great. You know, Adam Priest, he's been on a roll. He's been some of everywhere here recently. And I think, at least from what I can tell, this match with Fred Yehi was his most high-profile match recently. And it really pushed him to do something different, because part of this match was Fred just simply out-wrestling Adam Priest. And again, he did not make him look clownish. He didn't make him look stupid or inferior. They just made it look as if what it was. Fred is more experienced. Fred has way more in-ring presence than Adam Priest does. And it was on display. But with the storytelling, it made it a point that Adam knew throughout the match he would have to up his game. He knew he would. There was no way around it. Outstanding wrestling, plain and simple. From both men, there was outstanding wrestling, mat-based wrestling, technical wrestling. It was all outstanding. I love Fred Yehi. I've seen him wrestle a couple of times now, and Fred is a perfect mixture, I think, of technicality and explosiveness. Usually, guys have one more than the other, and you can see that. Fred, I think, is very equally yoked with those things. I want to say this is the match where, you know, right after maybe it was a wrist lock, right after that move, that hold was done, Fred came up and just kicked Adam Priest in the face. Blink and you miss it. You know what I mean? I say that all the time, but that's how a lot of these moments are. If you blink, you miss it. Overall, though, this match was fantastic. It, again, great opening match. It was a great way, especially after this crowd had seen that crazy Friday the 13th card and seen all that they seen there. It was good to see that crowd retained and still into it. And I think that this match was a good match to kind of ease them into a whole second show. Adam Priest and Fred Yehi, fantastic talents. Action, so far, man, actually the team over at Action Wrestling has done a great job of putting this together. I can really appreciate it. You can tell that their fans who are there appreciate it. It was a fantastic way to start the show. Next, we move on to some women's action. Y'all know I love me some women's wrestling, so I was paying particular attention to this match. We have Billy Starks taking on... Okay, here's the thing. I'm country, and y'all know I'm country, so I'm going to mess her name up. I believe it's pronounced Seishin. Seishin. I really hope I continue to say it correctly, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful in the fact that I don't really know how to say it. But we have Billy Starks versus Seishin in a double debut. These two are debuting for Action Wrestling. Overall, it was a very good match. It started out technical. It started out a little more wrestling and then got gritty towards the end, which is not a bad thing. I thought that Billy Starks showed some fantastic aggression in this match. You know, looking at her, and I've seen her wrestle a handful of times for New Level Pro and things like that. So I kind of knew who Billy Starks was going into this. I hadn't seen a whole lot of her, but I knew who she was going into this. I had heard Seishin's name, but I don't think I'd ever seen any matches of hers until this match. So this was fresh for me, you know. And like I said, going into this match, Billy Starks showed some great aggression. I don't think it was typical of her to be that aggressive. It came off as if commentary was even shocked at the aggression that she was showing. But I also thought Seishin showed some great return offense. You know, whatever Billy had for her, I think that Seishin done a great job of counteracting that and coming back with something hot and heavy. You know, it felt like there was an urgency in this match, particularly from Billy Starks. It felt like she really wanted this win. It was a proving ground win, so to speak. And I think both of these young ladies did a great job of proving themselves. Billy Starks did a really pretty swanton to end this match. It was pretty. It was well put together. I'll say that. I won't say it was better or worse than anybody or anything. It was a very well executed move. I love the storytelling in this match as well, from Billy in particular, kind of selling her back, selling, you know, her possible injury. I don't think she was actually injured. I think it was just for the sake of the match. But I thought it was some great storytelling between her and Seishin. I also believe that Billy is really good at getting the crowd involved and getting the crowd behind her. But again, I don't know. It might have just been a debut thing, since this crowd likely had not seen her before or seen her in person before. Some of them, at least, they didn't really know how to take them. So that, you know, I've seen that happen with me being in crowds, and someone's, if you've been to that show regularly and someone debuts, maybe you're not ready for them to debut. I don't think Billy Starks and Seishin were supposed to be the match here. I think someone else was supposed to be in Seishin's spot. So, you know, when you have two people debuting, you're just filling them out. The crowd is just filling them out. They're kind of figuring out, who should I boo for? Who should I cheer for? You know, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? And I think that Billy Starks and Seishin overall did a pretty good job of getting the crowd into the match, because, hey, I've seen some debut matches that have fallen absolutely flat. You know, the crowd's not into it. The performer doesn't do really a good job of getting themselves over and getting themselves ingratiated with the crowd. I don't think that that was the case at all with these two. I think that they've done a fantastic job. I think this was a really great match. Moving on now, we've got Orion Bishop versus Logan Creed, another double debut. Logan Creed pulls out the W in this match. Y'all know what I'm going to say. Y'all already know what I'm going to say. Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. Y'all already know. It's almost like the cosmos, the universe knew to put this match on this card. y'all know I love seeing big men just do big men shit. And that's exactly what we got from these two. Now, this was a double debut for Action, but I have seen both of these men wrestle a handful of times, knew what they could bring to the table, knew that this was going to be a slugfest. This was going to be monster versus monster, Goliath versus Goliath, King Kong versus, the Loch Ness Monster, or whatever kind of analogy you want to throw to it. I knew that this was going to be that. Creed did a power slam on Orion Bishop, and it was impressive as hell. But what got to me, what's in my notes, is that there was an audible gasp from the crowd. I think that power slam might have been like the first like big move of the match, and there was like a from the crowd. You could hear it, and I laughed because, you know, it doesn't seem like it should be possible. You know, Orion Bishop, although Logan Creed has a height advantage, you know, both of these men are big men, so you would look and think, you know, maybe it should not be that easy, but they carried each other well in this match, man. And it looked so easy and effortless on both of their parts. And again, fantastic because, you know, you get two big men in the ring together, and sometimes it's just a clunky, big-ass mess. This was not that. This was a great, great, great match between two big men. Orion Bishop, Logan Creed went for a dive, which, first of all, what? but he went for the dive between the top and middle rope, and Orion Bishop caught him and done a DDT onto the concrete floor, and it looked nasty, man. It looked nasty. But again, that was a moment that was executed beautifully. It could have looked clunky. It could have looked so out of place for Logan Creed, who is that tall, to put that in, and Orion Bishop, watching this whole match, I could see how this match would look clunky. I could see how this match would look almost robotic, you know, like two big men who don't know how to work. I'm so glad that this was not that. I'm really glad. Kudos to management for knowing to book two big men who can work, who can actually make a match and put a match together. Because this, I think that if you're going to do monster versus monster, big man versus big man, you know, a lot of promotions try to do that from time to time. This is a shining example of how to book it. You get two big men who know what they're doing. Don't stop putting big men in matches just because they're big. Okay? Just stop doing it. If they don't really know what they're doing and how to really work as a big man, because that there is a difference. Okay? There's a difference in working as a big man and working as a average-sized wrestler. I think a lot of big men get trained as average-sized wrestlers and then get booked as big men. Start training the big men to work as big men. So then they get in great matches like this. Logan Creed did end up doing a suicide dive, which, crazy. Overall, great match. Both men looked great. Logan Creed, who I think has more of a stance, more of a stronghold in the Georgia territory, I think it was good to give him that win, but I do hope, I'm going to be watching Action, and I do hope that they bring both of these men back because they know what they're doing. Whether they come back separately or together, I think it's a good idea they put themselves over. Now we're going to move on to the next match. We got Matt Sales. Sales. S-E, not S-A. I keep wanting to say Sales. I'm It may not sound different to y'all. Whatever. We have Matt Sales versus Jaden Newman. Y'all know how I feel about Jaden Newman. I think he's great. And he showcased it even more in this match. I've seen Jaden do stuff in this match that I've never seen him do character-wise. And it made me love him even more. So, to begin this match, they started with Matt Sales having to take a field sobriety test. He had to walk a straight line. I thought that that was great. I thought that the crowd was into it 100%. Matt Sales seems to be kind of the, outside of Bobby Flacco and AC Mack, Matt Sales seems to be kind of the flag bearer for action. You know, this crowd was really hot for him. But yeah, he had to do a sort of field sobriety test, and I think that was a wonderful way, again, to cool the crowd down for a little bit, get them into this match even more, but cool them down from that crazy Orion Bishop Logan Creed match that they had just seen. I think it was a great opener. Jaden Newman performed a nasty STO to Matt Sales on the apron. And, you know, commentary, not this commentary team in particular, but just in general, commentary always likes to sell that, you know, that's the hardest part of the ring. For those of you who are listening who may not have ever been near a wrestling ring, they're not joking. I've slapped that portion of a wrestling ring. It hurts. It does. So, kudos to anybody who's willing to take a move on that portion of the ring, y'all. When commentary says that, when wrestlers say that to y'all, that that's the hardest part of the ring, they're not bullshitting. That is the hardest part of the ring. You would think it's not, but that, you know, depending on what your ring is made out of, that's where the wood meets the steel. It's, yeah. So seeing an STO, and it was more of a snap STO. It was real quick, definitely, like, I cringed knowing how hard that part of the ring is. It's crazy. one of the character things that Jaden Newman was doing in this match was he kept breaking the referee's ring count or his count while they were outside. And I didn't realize at first why he was doing it. It was weird to me that he was doing it. Like, he's not even letting the ref get past one. Ah, that's what he's doing. Jaden kept breaking the count just so the referee could say the number one. And again, that's great character work. That's great work with the crowd, because this crowd had number two signs specifically for Jaden. So, you know, I think that that was really smart on Jaden's part to make the referee almost chant the number one in relation to who he is, and as a way to kind of get back at the crowd for having those number two signs. That's fantastic character work out of Jaden Newman. Sales hit a beautiful cutter on Jaden Newman during this match. I don't even want to, it was very beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. So the ending of this match, I think this might be the first time that I've seen a match end in a stoppage that way. I don't know what the move was called. I missed it. They called it out, what Matt Sales calls it in particular, but it was a very unique move, and y'all should go watch it. It was enough to knock Jaden out and to get Matt Sales the win. Usually I don't like goofy shit like that, but it made sense. I don't know. It just made sense. It made sense in this match. It made sense for what was happening, and it was very sudden. So, kudos to both men for this great match. Now we're moving on to the main event of Friday Night Fights. We have Eric Royal. Not Eric. Eric Royal taking on Anthony Henry, who we've seen earlier in the night taking on Kyle Matthews. Eric Royal gets the win in this match. This is another, I've heard about Eric Royal, but I have not seen, up to this point, I had not seen any of his matches. I was thoroughly impressed with his explosiveness. He had a certain, and I don't know if it was just in this match and the storytelling of Anthony Henry's probably tired, so Eric Royal wanted to be explosive and kind of get this thing over with quickly, or if that's just always who Eric Royal is. But I really enjoyed his explosiveness throughout this match. As far as Anthony Henry, you know, I said it earlier when I was talking about his match with Kyle Matthews. I've heard nothing but good things about Anthony Henry. And the matches that I've seen with Anthony Henry have all been good. You know, there was story told earlier, and then there's going to be story told later at the end of this match during a promo about Anthony Henry having the opportunity to be signed. It didn't happen. I think that there was some statements made earlier by Kyle Matthews that he was going to be signed in January or something along those lines. I don't know. I have to look that up. But if he's not, Anthony Henry should be signed somewhere. He has a fantastic look. And his in-ring ability is top-notch. Like, that commentary put over all night just how important Anthony Henry was to independent wrestling, and specifically Georgia. I can see that. I can absolutely see why. There was a moment in this match. Eric Royal kicked out of a pin attempt, and Anthony Henry went straight into a double wrist lock from it. I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've ever seen anybody go straight into a double wrist lock. And it's little things like that in this match that made this match so good and made this match so special, because, you know, usually after a two count, guys are, they'll sell it to the crowd. They'll sell it with the ref, just depending on their allegiances. I think it was a good change of pace for me personally to see somebody not sell to the crowd, but just go straight into the next move. I think that was great. You know what I mean? No wasted motion. I told y'all I like that. And I like seeing no wasted motion in matches and with wrestlers. Like I said, that was just one of a multitude of little things that made this match great and made it main event worthy. This was for sure a main event worthy match. Again, kudos to booking for knowing what they're doing. Both of these shows were booked well. For it to be a doubleheader, yeah, but both of these shows were booked very, very well. Eric Royal's finisher, I dig it. Kobe, I dig that. Yeah, I don't really have anything to say other than I dig that. So after this match, you know, Eric Royal gets the win. But during the match, actually, let me back up a little bit. Suge D comes out, sits ringside, and watches this match, you know. And then after the match, after Eric Royal's win, Suge D starts talking that talk to Anthony Henry, you know, about how Anthony quit wrestling and he went off, thought he was going to get signed, but he didn't. So he quit, and Suge's been here, and, you know, all this other good stuff. You guys have got to watch it. And the reason I say you got to watch it is because I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. Suge D is pound for pound the most entertaining person in professional wrestling right now. I think he is one of, if not the best talker on any level of professional wrestling right now. And I felt like that since I discovered who Suge D is. He's so fantastic. He doesn't talk at anybody else's pace. He just says what he wants to say, but he has a very... Suge has such a fantastic way with words that when you're listening to him, it's almost poetic. It's almost as if... You know who I would compare Suge's talking ability to? Jake Roberts. Jake the Snake Roberts. In the same way, you know, he ain't got to yell. He ain't got to be over the top. He ain't got to go crazy like a lot of these other wrestlers in their promos, whether it be live promos or pre-taped promos. His creativity and his cadence within his words make his promos that much better than everybody else's. I would definitely compare Suge if I had to compare. I don't really care to compare, but I do it just for the sake of people who may listen, who may have never heard Suge talk. But you know what Jake the Snake Roberts sounds like? That's who I would compare closest to Suge, just to give you an idea and to let you know why I think you should be listening to Suge D promos. This promo post-match actually set up for Suge D versus Anthony Henry at Action Wrestling in December. Their December show that's coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe. And I may have misunderstood with the Kyle Matthews promo. I believe Anthony Henry might be getting signed in January. Or at least there's going to be an attempt, or Anthony Henry might be taking time off or something. I'm not totally sure. I missed it. But if that is the case, and this match with Suge is going to be kind of his, not final hoorah on the indies, but, you know, his send-off match to whatever he's going to be doing next, I think that that match is probably going to be match of the night for that particular show. It's well put together. There's a story. There's a built-in storyline right there with, you know, which Suge mentioned. You know, he and Anthony Henry started training together, so they've known each other for years now. There's so much history, so much story to tell. I have a feeling that that match is going to be match of the night. I have a feeling that commentary is going to do a fantastic job of telling that story, and the promos leading up to that story. Are also going to be just probably some of the best promo work that we're going to see on the indies, just because it's Suge. Anthony had a lot of emotion to his portion of this promo, and it makes sense. So I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see this match. And that's it, you guys. That does it for our doubleheader talk. Next, we're going to come back with the brass ring segment. Stay tuned. Raw power, speed, agility, and a growing charisma. These are the four things that I think the person I'm going to talk about in this segment has going for them. These are the four things that I think make them next in line. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, because the brass ring segment this week is dedicated to Alex Kane, the Suplex Assassin. I became familiar with Alex, of course, you guessed it, WWA4. But I really started paying attention to him at Pro South in Piedmont, Alabama. I was impressed from the first time I paid attention to his match, because Alex has something that I think a lot of people try to have. They try to portray, rather. Alex has it. And that's strength. Pure, unadulterated strength. Unfiltered strength. He's actually strong. And he can actually out-wrestle a lot of people. Another thing that I think makes Alex so good, as I said, is his growing charisma. I say it frequently. I've probably said it on this show already. Some people are just born with charisma, but you have to bring it out of them. Alex has a charisma akin to Brock Lesnar. You know how Brock Lesnar just kind of, when you look at him, he doesn't have to say anything. You just feel it on him. That's what I think Alex Kane has. He just has it on him. Ain't no words need to be said around here. When this kid comes out, I fully 100% believe he is going to kick ass. He's going to do what he does best. Another thing that I love about Alex is that he wrestles, typically, he wrestles his brand of wrestling match. And he doesn't stray too far from it. Some guys get into the habit of being a chameleon. So you can put them anywhere and they kind of make sense and they know what they're doing a little bit. The thing that I like about Alex Kane is that he is perfecting what he knows. And I think that a lot of guys can benefit from that. Instead of trying to be good at a few things, be fantastic at one thing. I think that that's what Alex is doing. He's being fantastic at being a powerhouse. Recently, he got featured in the Future Showcase with Action Wrestling. And I believe that that is a testament. Alex Kane, with everything he has going for him, if he can keep it together and then get those extra added parts to him, I believe that Alex Kane is the future of professional wrestling. Not just independent. I believe as a whole, Alex Kane can do for professional wrestling what Brock Lesnar did. What a lot of men before Brock Lesnar did. Alex Kane, to me, has the potential to be the next big thing. I'm not just saying that because of the comparison. I genuinely mean that. So, for that reason, I think that Alex Kane is next up to grab that brass ring. Well, that's it this week, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to the following podcast, the schedule for One Fall. Shout out to Action Wrestling, man. I was very, very impressed, and I'm going to be on the lookout every month on IWTV for Action Wrestling. Make sure you guys are checking it out. If you like what you heard, hey, make sure you're following the podcast. Wherever you're listening, there should be a subscribe button, a follow button, something along those lines. Be sure to tap that button so you do not miss any of the episodes that I have coming out. I'm planning some new segments, got some things in the works that I want to bring to the show, and I think you guys are really going to like it, and you definitely don't want to miss it. So again, follow, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Make sure you're following me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Finally got it back together. So we can talk some wrestling. I'm trying to live tweet things that I'm not able to talk about on the show. I'm still trying to live tweet them. I'm always asking some wrestling questions or answering wrestling questions. So go ahead and follow me on social media so we can keep these wrestling conversations going. Let's have a good time. Not get crazy, because you know how some people get, okay? Yeah, man, follow me on social media. Make sure you're following the podcast. Be on the lookout for some new stuff. I got some stuff in the works. Like I said, I got some stuff planned. Thank you, guys. I love you guys so much for your support and your love. It means the world to me. It does not go unnoticed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out. Peace.